the covenant renewed at Shechem. When Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, he summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites. In those lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." God bless the reading of his holy word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Summer's almost over. Summer is a good season, no snow, nothing to shovel, no worries about heating bills. But summer is also a good season because of family reunions. June, July, and August are the months where most families have reunions. And many of you either have or will go to a certain place where you were from or to an agreed-upon place with people who share your genetic material. And you'll have a family reunion. Now, these are people that you don't see on a regular basis. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes you wish you could see them a little more. But if you go to a family reunion, you're one of those people who looks forward to it. I mean, there's great food. There's potato salad, hamburgers, hot dogs, iced tea, watermelon. There's Aunt Joan's special baked beans with that brown crust on the top. And there's Cousin Helen's rice pudding. Oh, Cousin Helen's rice pudding is legendary. So much so that one year, when the table was all set, a freak windstorm blew up and food went everywhere, but somebody had the presence of mind to stand up, grab the rice pudding, and run into a safe place and protect it, and the day was saved. I mean, there's food, but then there's Cousin Helen's rice pudding. And then after dinner, all kinds of activities. Some of the more energetic people grab baseball gloves. They go off to the baseball diamond. Some of the younger people head to the pool and the high dive. And some of the veterans of family reunions, they start to push together picnic tables, 2, 3, 4 picnic tables. And then the older, mature veterans start playing cards. And within 5 minutes, it's raucous and rowdy and all kinds of conversations because a lot of things happen in 12 months. It's a short span and you want to catch up. Now, at some point during that family reunion, you grab a cup of lemonade and you walk over to a place under a tree that's shady and you just survey the landscape. You look at all these people who've gathered here for this family reunion. And you look at them and with a small amount of satisfaction, you say to yourself, "This is who I am. These are my people. I am a spring. This is who I am." Now, it's true. You're looking over the whole group. So there is Greta over there, the one with 16 cats, one who lives in the woods, the one who's always telling people, "I just put my money under the mattress when the banks fail and the economy is ruined. I'll be the only one with money." And there's Fred over there, who's a professional accordion player, and on the side he sells refurbished printer ink. But basically, you look at all these people and you say, this is who I am. You remember. It's one of those times in the course of a year when you remember who you are. Now, there are a lot of those times through the year when you remember who you are. You may go to a football game this fall, and the band at the end of the football game will start playing the alma mater, win or lose, and you'll stand up with some pride and throw out your chest and sing. You'll sing that alma mater. You'll say, "Hail to Pitt, I am a Panther." Win or lose, you remember who you are. You may have traveled this summer. If you go out of the country, you come to the airport, the immigration officer says, "May I see your passport, please?" And you say, "Yes, here it is. I am an American." Or when Shin and Keiko go back to their country, they will give their passport. "We are Japanese." So remember who we are. Tomorrow, some of you might take child to school, and they might ask you to fill out some paperwork. They might say, name of person to contact in case of an emergency. And you put your name down there. And then the next line says relationship to student. And it says, you write mother. I am a mother. There are times when we remember who we are. And the scripture that Rachel has just read for us in the book of Joshua is one of those times when God gathers the people together and asks them to remember who they are. Now, this is the book of Joshua. And it begins with Moses dying. Moses has died. Now, Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt after 400 plus years of slavery. He leads them to the brink of the promised land. And poor old Moses, after all he had to put up with, God leads him to the top of Mount Nebo and lets him see this vista. But he says, "This is the promised land, Moses, but you can't go." And Moses dies and he's buried in some unknown location in Moab. But God, as God always does, raises up somebody else. And that somebody else is Joshua. And he says to Joshua, "Now you will lead the people into the promised land." And I want you to hear the words at the beginning of the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua and said, "My servant Moses is dead. Get going. Cross the Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Have strength, have courage. You are going to lead people to inherit the land I promised to give to their ancestors. Give it all you've got, all your heart, and all your soul." And that's what Joshua does from the beginning of the book until the 24th chapter we read here. And here in the 24th chapter, Joshua is old. When I say old, he's old. He's 110 years old. I'm just pointing that out for you next time the nominating committee comes this fall and says, "Would you serve as?" "Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty old." I know there's nobody here who's even close to 110. Joshua is 110, and he's ready to die. Before he dies, God tells him, "I want you to gather the people of Israel together into a safe city called Shechem. And when they get there, I want you to give them my message." So he calls all the people of Israel from the four corners, hundreds of thousands of people. They come to Shechem, and Joshua begins to remind them who they are. And he does that by giving them a history lesson. I know some of you aren't interested in history, but this isn't a dull, boring history lesson. Joshua takes them all the way back about 550 years. And he says to them, "You remember Abraham and Sarah, right? And they were 100, he was 100, she was 90. Look, they were going to retirement homes. And they were talking to the director of admissions. They were all over the place in the Ur of the Chaldees. They wanted to figure out where were they going to spend their last years. They went to their financial advisor and we wanted to know, did we have enough money? Will it run out before we do?" And all of a sudden one day, when they're just ready to sign on the dotted line to enter the retirement home, they find themselves in Babyland shopping for a crib. That was God. And then Joshua says, "And remember our great-grandparents." You remember your great-grandparents. My great-grandfather, he had mud under his fingernails. for as long as I knew him. And your great-grandparents would tell you too, they felt sometimes like they were born with mud under their fingernails from making those bricks for the Egyptians 7 days a week for over 400 years. But one day Moses comes along, this man Moses, and suddenly through a series of miracles, we were free after 400 years of slavery. That was God. That was God. And then you remember a couple of days after that, they come to the Red Sea. They're making good progress, but they come to the Red Sea and they realize that what stands between them and freedom is this turbulent, chaotic body of water. And a lot of them were standing there saying, boy, I wish I had taken those swimming lessons when they were offered. And they look back and here came the Egyptians. But Moses raised his arms, the waters parted. Our people walked through, not a stitch of clothing with a drop of water. And when they were on dry land, we looked back. And as the Egyptians entered, the sea swallowed them. That was God. And there are some of you who are here at Shechem this morning who remember when we came to the land right beyond the Jordan River. The Amorites were there to welcome us, and they weren't bringing presents. But God allowed us to prevail against the Amorites. And he said, you're going to cross the Jordan River. Well, we went over to the Jordan River and looked at it, and it was at flood stage. FEMA was there. Waters were everywhere. It was harvest time. The Jordan always overflows, and you were the same as me. You looked at those waters, and you said, if we enter those waters, we'll be swept away. And I know a lot of you were very happy the night I stood up and said, the priests will go first. I heard you murmuring. I know what you were saying. Oh, I'm glad I didn't go to seminary. I'm glad I'm not one of those priests. But I said that because God told me what would happen, and that's exactly what did happen. The next morning we started crossing the Jordan. The priests, as soon as their soles of their feet hit the water, it stopped and piled up. And we walked through to the promised land. That was God. Ready to die, 110 years old. All that he had done and seen and witnessed, all that God had used him to do. And Joshua says, I want you to remember who you are. And that powerful verse, maybe some of you have crafted it into a needlepoint display. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. But Joshua stands up and says, now you've got a decision to make. You can worship the God of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates. You can worship the gods that the Amorites worshiped before we came here. Or you can worship the Lord God Almighty. And you can imagine all the emotions stirring. I mean, Rachel read those words, but just imagine hundreds of thousands of people who've been stirred to remember what God has done and who God is, shouting out with one voice, we will worship the Lord. God is our God. In the same way Maddie stirred us with those words and the song and our emotions, it's the emotions the Israelites felt on that day when Joshua said what he said. Choose this day. Now, because I'm a pastor, every week, when I go to the scripture, I open a commentary to figure out what the smart people know and what I should know. And what I found out this week is that the people who are paid to do this for their lifetime work say that what this is in Joshua 24 is a covenant renewal ceremony. It's one of those times, and they happen through scripture, where God calls the people together and says, I want you to remember who you are. I want you to remember whose you are. And I started thinking about all those times when we do that here, a covenant renewal ceremony. I mean, your parents will bring children up here to have them dedicated. And we ask the parents about their faith. Will you follow Jesus Christ and count on the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help you raise this child? Yes, we will. In a few minutes here, we're going to have Ben Tirado come forward. And front and center, we'll say, do you now reaffirm your covenant with Jesus Christ, your faith in God? Yes, I do. I was one time at a covenant renewal ceremony with 110,000 people. You want to talk about a covenant renewal ceremony? It took place up in State College. On one side of the stadium, people yelled out, "We are!" And on the other side of the stadium, people yelled back, "Penn State!" It gives you goosebumps if you're a Penn State fan or alumni. It was a covenant renewal ceremony. Who are we? We are Penn State. It was impressive, but it's not as impressive as what Joshua asks the people of Israel to say. Who are you? And they shout out, "We are the people of God. He is our God, and we are his." We all have a lot of different identities. We're a parent. We're a truck driver. We're a Steeler fan. Some Brown fans here, I understand. We are a resident of Shaler. We're a member of the Smith clan. But all of those are sub-identities. Our primary, ultimate relationship is we are the people of God. He is our Lord. We are his people. So every one of us who calls ourselves Christians, we are people who look at what's happened in the past, who look at what's going on in the world right now, who gaze into the horizon and look at the future, and we say, "This is God. This is God. This will be God." And every once in a while, it's good to remind ourselves who we are and whose we are. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the name Roland Hayes. Anybody? Roland Hayes? Roland Hayes, it's been a while now. He was born in 1877 to sharecropper farmers in Currysville, Georgia. His mother had actually been a former slave. But Roland Hayes was born with the great gift, the gift of music. And in his church growing up, the elders used to count on him to teach the congregation new songs, new hymns, new anthems. And as he grew up and graduated, he went to Fisk University in Nashville to study music. And then in 1920, he decided he was going to go to Europe to study under the great masters there. And a year later, Roland Hayes gave a concert in Wigmore Hall in London that was so well received that shortly thereafter, King George V and Queen Mary issued an invitation for him to come and give a command performance at Buckingham Palace. And a few hours before he was going to go on and sing at Buckingham Palace, his mother, this former slave, sharecropper, farmer, his mother sent him a telegram. And the telegram read like this: "Roland, remember who you are." Now, somebody asked him after the concert what his mother meant when she sent that telegram, "Remember who you are." And Roland Hayes said, "I know what my mom meant. She meant, Roland, remember, you are a vessel of God. You are a vessel of God." Joshua calls the people together. Who are you? Whose are you? We are God's people, and he is our Lord. You know, I wish we could start every day with that reminder. Every Monday morning, every Saturday afternoon. I wish every day we could be reminded of that. I mean, God asks us to come back together as his people once a week at least to reaffirm our covenant, to renew our relationship with him. But I could use more than once a week, and I'll tell you why. It's because I forget during the week. I have spiritual amnesia to the nth degree, and I forget who I am. And I am sometimes seduced into thinking that all hope is lost for this or for that. I watch the news and I think, what is the state of the world? And I forget. Who am I? Whose am I? Let me give you a small example of this. I had a friend, she was a grandmother. This had to be 10 years ago. She was telling me that her granddaughter was home for a visit. And the granddaughter says, oh, she's just talking as little kids do, 6, 7 years old. She's all excited. She's telling about this friend who goes to this church, and this friend who goes to this church, and this friend who goes to this church. She says, Grandma, there's four of us, and we all four go to different churches. And then she looked at her grandma, my friend, and she said, but it's okay, right? As long as we're all Democrats. Now, I don't know where this little girl got that. I'm just guessing her parents are Democrats. But I thought about that this week when I was reading through the book of Joshua here. I thought about how we lose ourselves in sub-identities. You know as well as I do that all the experts say we live in a divided country. Half the country's red, half the country's blue. Half the country's Republicans, half the country's Democrats. And you know as well as I do, Americans love politics and rolling up our sleeves and getting into it, and Christians as much as Americans. And so we begin to be seduced into the understanding that maybe in this next election, the right candidate will be elected who will be a part and process of furthering God's kingdom. And maybe this candidate, this election, will be the time. And we're seduced into thinking that God's kingdom is going to come through the political process. And the fact of the matter is, when we come here on Sunday morning, we're reminded that there's coming a day when the word Democrat and Republican will be unknown. It'll be thrown onto the scrap heap of human history. There's coming a day when the United States of America will be mentioned in the past tense. Because this is not the kingdom. We are the people of God. And every Sunday when we gather, we remind ourselves of that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the political process. I'm just saying that's not who I am. That's not who you are. I know that if this church is similar to the country, and I think it is, there are people in this church who believe that Barack Obama has led our country down the road to ruination. And then there are people on the other side who say, well, that already happened under George W. Bush. There are people who watch Fox News, and then there are people who watch CNN and MSNBC and say, oh, I never watched that. And we forget who we are. We're not this or that. We are the people of God. And we sang it this morning, Philippians chapter 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's who we are. Brian Bachknight's a pastor over in the South Hills, and he's told this story before he retired. I've always remembered it. He said there was a pastor who was invited to a political social gathering, a political party, if you will. And he was standing there drinking a Fresca, and somebody came up to him, a fellow who's slightly inebriated, and he asked the pastor, well, what office are you running for? And the pastor looked at him and thought for a moment. He said, well, I guess I'm running for the kingdom of God. And the inebriated fellow said to him, well, you know what? I know everybody here, and I know what everybody here is doing, and you're probably going to win because nobody here is running for that. But you know, the bottom line is, I am, and you are. That's what we're running for, the kingdom of God. That's the end goal of our life. Every day we live, every moment we breathe, that crown that Paul says we get, that kingdom that is coming, and we believe it. But sometimes we need to be reminded of it. We follow a God who says the kingdom is already here, but soon it will come in all its fullness and in all its glory. Praise be to God, and let's remember. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, work in our hearts and in our minds in those moments when we're tempted to forget. As Joshua stood before all those hundreds of thousands and asked them to decide, ask us too on a daily basis to decide who we are and whose we are. And focus us like a laser on the goal of our lives and the goal of creation. In Jesus' name, amen.